This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you by WGNRadio.com with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Payne here live from the MVP Studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. Patch 9.12 is here, and it includes the Motor Kaiser rework. Invin Global Esports reporter Nick Geraci is going to talk about the latest rework and how this new Motor Kaiser fits into the current meta. Thanks for joining me, Nick.
Thanks for having me back again. I really appreciate it.
I went and read that Riot said they will not balance the game for the top 10% players anymore. Why do you think Riot made this decision?
They've been trying to address this year by year, but there's a big difference in how like the everyday League of Legends player plays the game and how like a professional team plays the game. In fact, some professional players in the past have referred to it almost literally as two different games because of how important the coordination is. You know, you can have champions like, you know, Master Yi, who do great in solo queue, who can't do anything in competitive play. And then you have champions like Azir or something who, even in the past, was the best mage mid laner for like a year straight, but throughout that entire time had a terrible win rate in solo queue. So I think they're trying to make it so that people can see more of themselves when pros are playing, and therefore they might be more willing to watch the pros and be able to directly apply that to themselves. I do think that the way they've already changed the meta this year to be more focused on early game aggression and kind of it's removed some of the finer aspects of like vision control and like high profile team stuff, because five people playing the game together like in solo queue aren't going to always be able to replicate that.
Now, I remember reading, and this was a long time ago, so don't quote me on it, it could have changed by now, but most of the player base was in gold, and they still focused on only the top 10% for basically the entire life of the game, I think. But now they're changing it. And will they focus then on gold gameplay? I'm just curious about that.
So I think it's going to be silver. Silver has actually been the highest single percentage for about 3 years now, maybe even longer. But it's almost half the player base at this point. It's like around 46-47% last I checked. And then you have bronze and iron, which kind of make up like another like 30-ish, 25%. And then gold is about like 10-15%. And then, you know, like plat, diamond, and challenger is the rest. Like the highest levels of play really are like the top like 10-12% of players, right? And so I think they want to make the game more accessible to people with like potentially lower skill ceilings. And I understand the value in doing that. I personally hope that they don't go too hard on that, because I think the way that they're introducing new kits with champions like Yuumi and reworks and stuff is already letting people kind of play their own game in different ways. And I would hate to see, well, yes, we have to like keep in mind that we all like to play this game, right? But at the same time, like the people who play it the best, they're the tastemakers of, I think, how the game should be played. And I think that's also why Riot kind of was focused on them for so long. They were very receptive to the top level of their player base, and that's what's gotten League of Legends to be a premier global esport today. So I'm glad. I think it's a good thing in theory that they are trying to make the game more accessible at all levels and whatnot. I also am slightly concerned because we've seen other games cater to the casual gamer in the past and alienate their like dedicated fan base. And we've seen it, you know, with Gears of War back in the day with Epic Games. We're seeing it right now with Epic Games and Fortnite. And I think that there's potential pitfalls. I hope that because of the diversity that League of Legends involves with all the different kits and the vast amount of champions, that they will be taking this carefully. I don't think they want to take too many big steps forward. It's a double-edged sword, and it's definitely a hard balance to strike.
Absolutely. I can't help but to think of World of Warcraft. When I was playing, I was in a top 500 guild for a long time, and then the game got really easy. I got really upset about that because I worked really hard so that I could stand in Stormwind, and I knew when people were inspecting my gear. I mean, that made me feel, I was flattered. I was like, this is hard work to get to this point. The barrier was everybody can go over it. What was the point of spending all those hours raiding and anybody could do it over the weekend? So I'm a little bit scared that they're doing this with Riot, you know, with League of Legends, because, I mean, the whole point is that these top 10%, they make the game look cool, and you want to be cool like that. So if anybody can go up there, you know, you lose that level of coolness.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, those guys, they're where they are because they've worked harder than everybody else, just like you did in World of Warcraft. You were where you were because of the amount of time that you put in. And there's not only a sense of pride and accomplishment in that, but it also, like, just kind of diminished the, like, it's like, wow, I put so much time into this game, but because you need to cater to more of a general audience, that doesn't really matter to you. Like, it does feel like a, like, personal to some gamers, especially when they've put in a lot of time into the game and that stuff. So I hope that Riot learns from past mistakes from other game developers. And while the announcement initially concerns me, I'm not ready to throw in the towel on them just yet, because in the past when they've made statements, they've still been able to handle the execution properly. So let's hope it's one of those situations.
Well, not just when it comes to balancing the game. I have to also think of the top streamers, because I love watching T1. As crazy as he is, I love watching his Draven play. And then you also have Sneaky, the ADC out there. And one of the things I've noticed is win trading, intentionally feeding, and there even has the two-man troll vote where they'll hold you hostage for the whole game, even though everybody knows it's a losing match, but they want it to go an hour. So do you think Riot will address this too?
Well, I think they're going to have to, right? The problem is there isn't like a clear-cut way on how to do that, you know? And I think that you're going to have like your bad apples here and there. You're going to have like your hinting players sometimes. But the fact of the matter is that we've seen a lot more of this type of sort of high variance kind of flip-flop sort of style. And I think a lot of that has to do with the ranked ladder. A lot of people have been like calling for a ranked ladder reset. And there's a lot of issues right now with like how people are queued up. You get like a team of like golds and plats against like a team of like a gold player, 3 silvers and a bronze, and it's like that's super mismatched, right? So I think that while kind of balancing that in the matchmaking a little better won't directly address those issues, it would reduce the amount of high variance situations we have. People aren't trying their best, or they already feel outmatched before they start, or like I said, this isn't going to directly handle every single aspect, but it will make the game a more smoother, enjoyable experience overall, which will help really weed out the bad apples, have them kind of stick out a little bit more. So I think it is a multi-step process for them, and I think it needs to be handled delicately. There's not like a direct sustainable fix right now that's like a permanent fix.
Yeah, because right now I believe, and I'm not sure, maybe you can correct me on this, that when you block a player, you can still be matched with them later on. It's just you won't be able to like see them type.
Right, exactly. And you know, that's a real problem in like, okay, like if there's like in high elo, like you're really only playing like, you know, in Challenger, it's the top 200 players in the country, right? So this is not going to happen all the time in Challenger, but, you know, even in high diamond, you're only looking at a pool of like, you know, a few thousand players, right? So there's a higher chance of running into that same person who like creeped your last game, and then you get into the fact that because there's like a low level of players, like compared to like silver where there's, you know, millions, right? You grow familiar. You know, we've heard about people having like int lists where if they like get matched with a certain person like on their team, they'll throw the game because screw them, right? And symptomatic of bigger issues within the matchmaking, but that also doesn't excuse the behavior itself.
So now League of Legends, they actually want to make a mobile game. It's kind of a lot they're putting on their plate right now. They have toxicity issues, which, you know, everybody can see what people are doing. And then, you know, they now want to open up to all these other players. So adding a mobile game to this, do you think that's even wise to do?
Because of the other things, the timing may not make sense. But the fact of the matter is that, like, Riot has been one of the leading game developers in North America for the last decade, and they have yet to put out a second game. And I think, like, that should have happened years ago, frankly. But you're right. I mean, there are a lot of, you know, there's issues with toxicity. The Clash system that was supposed to be a very good, like, competitive sort of, like, version of the game for people who wanted to, like, team up and really try their hardest, which was supposed to come out over a year ago now, is still in delays because of issues in the development. They haven't really been super clear about exactly what that means, but we still don't have it. And it was, you know, it was announced like 14 months ago, you know? So I think it's like they have to create a second game because they have to, but I think that this is not necessarily the best time, but I also don't think they can wait any longer.
What do you mean that they can't wait any longer? Like, do you think their window of opportunity is going to close?
I think that Riot should have made their second game like 4 or 5 years ago. I think that they were at a good space in 2014, 2015. League of Legends was doing well. They could have kept doing that. And while they've handled the game great, you need to have, if you want to be around for the long haul, you need to have more than one title. I mean, look at Blizzard, right? Like, let's think about how many games Blizzard has put out alone since League of Legends came out. I can think of 5 right off the top of my head. And while, yes, they're a more established company with more established personnel and they have more experience in the space, I think that Riot needed to create a second game sooner, and now it's kind of to the point, like, we're a decade into League of Legends. I don't think there's any more time to waste in that regard. But unfortunately, like you said, there are other issues that are prevalent with them as well right now. Like, even on outside of the game stuff, they have lawsuits going on with former employees. Like, there's a lot of stuff happening at Riot Games right now.
So wouldn't it be smarter, at least for me, I'm thinking business-wise, like, I wouldn't want to keep spreading myself thin. I would want my developer, my programmers to sit there and focus specifically on this game, because I know one of their big thing is the tournaments. I mean, that's where most of their money is coming from. So I'd be like, focus more on that so we can at least get over this little hurdle. But instead, they're like, no, we got this. We're going to keep going. And it makes me wonder, is that really smart business, or are they seeing something that maybe I don't?
I think there's something to be said for the fact that mobile esports are on the rise. They're definitely, with the increase of technology, they're becoming closer and closer to like their PC counterparts, like in the way that, you know, before it was like, oh, blow low mobile games. Now it's like, oh, that's cool. You play that game. It happens to be on your phone. That's fine. A computer in your hand practically anyway. And I think that mobile games are especially huge in Asia, in China and Korea specifically. And, you know, Riot, a lot of Riot's majority shares are owned by Tencent. a Chinese company. And I have nothing to confirm this. This is just me theorizing. I wouldn't be surprised if the push of the mobile gaming industry has Riot feeling pressured to make sure they're keeping up in that regard. For all of the greatness in League of Legends, and again, like this kind of goes back to the first thing we were talking about, it is not the easiest game to get into. There is a learning curve. And in creating a second game for more people, Riot is only expanding their resources. But I agree with you that they're already spread thin on a lot of other fronts. So it's a situation with no real solution except to work harder, and that doesn't always work in the past, especially we've seen, you know, gaming developers like burn out their employees far too much. And so I hope that Riot is able to choose the right priorities in the near future, because there's a lot of stuff that they have to focus on right now.
Yeah, and I'm also starting to wonder if they're already kind of missing some steps, because in 9.11, Riot nerfed Master Yi and Karthus, and then they reverted them back, and just a few days later, I mean, if they really thought they needed those nerfs, they should have kind of kept it. Or if they thought that, hey, you know, we should have took some time on those nerfs, you know, they should have took the time, but it seems like everything they're doing right now is like, they're trying to just push it out and see how it works.
I'm going to have to disagree a little bit, only on the front that, like, I thought the Karthus nerf was just absolutely bananas. Yes, he's been a very strong champion, especially in the jungle, for quite some time now, but, like, he would have gone from, like, you know, one of the better champions to legitimately the worst champion in the game, like, completely unplayable, simply because of the fact that the other changes around him really kind of specialize him towards the jungle, even at all levels of play. Yes, you can still play him mid lane and whatnot, but the way that they changed him, it was too much of a butchering, and I think you see that with Master Yi as well. They completely just took all of the oomph out of his Alpha Strike. Yes, it was a problematic ability, it has been for some time, but I don't think the answer is just completely just, like, neutering the champion, to be a little crass. This is also, again, highlighting issue with some of these older champion designs like Master Yi and Karthus that, you know, maybe we're looking at more of a rework, because it's hard to balance a champion that is built upon such innate ability to do one thing well. Master Yi farms up and then tries to carry the whole game by himself. And if he's too good at doing that, the game is busted and he can win every game. If he's not good enough at doing that at all, he's not even worth picking, right?
Yeah.
And Karthus, you see the same thing. You have this scaling sort of mage jungler. He's too much clear right now and he does too much damage. Like, he can ult, he can gank all three lanes at once with his ultimate, basically, right? And so, while I think balance needs to be changed, I really think that they're trying to avoid completely just, like, removing a champion from the game. And I think that is absolutely what would have happened to Master Yi and Karthus. Not even just the competitive level for Karthus. I'm talking, like, nobody should ever play Master Yi again in any ELO ever if that nerf had stayed. And same with Karthus. I think Karthus would play, it would have just plummeted. And so I don't think that's necessarily the right thing, because I think Karthus is an interesting jungler. I think it's cool that we have an AP magic damage dealer, like, farming jungler that doesn't really have to gank in a conventional way. Again, Riot wants to balance their game while also allowing for all play styles. So I think that removing certain unique traits of champions would be kind of against what they're trying to do in their game balance going forward. But at the same time, it also highlights an issue that some of these designs are old and might need a full rework, you know?
I'm not so sure, because you do a rework on these characters, especially Master Yi and Karthus in particular. They work. They're so centric about being this one trick that if you changed anything about it, it's a brand new champion. Whenever I see Karthus being picked, I'm like, oh, here comes Killsteel Karthus. KS Karthus is coming here. So, but that's what he's known as. That's exactly what he's supposed to do with his R. He's supposed to, you know, snipe that kill and then he gets stronger. But it's just, if you take that away from him, what is Karthus? I couldn't imagine.
Exactly. And I think that's kind of an issue a lot of these farming up champions are having. They're either too strong in the ways of, like, Karthus and Master Yi, but that without the nerfs we were just discussing that were reverted. And then you have, like, bot laners that want to scale champions like Jinx, Tristana, Caitlyn, who are just pretty much obsolete in the current meta. We just saw G2 win MSI, and Perks was straight up, he was just like, don't play AD carries, they suck. Like, play mages, play AD carries that are caster-focused, Ezreal, Lucian, or ones that have utility with, like, Varus, Xayah, or ones that really can just kind of take over the whole game by themselves without being really in danger. Draven is an example who's very good competitively right now because he's just so, his snowball potential is so high, and it's worth the coin flip for aggressive teams to play, and that's why we saw G2 do very well with Draven. Similarly, Kai'Sa, while she is a late-game champion, and so is Vayne, they both have great two-item power spikes, too. And so you're seeing these champions, these traditional scaling kind of flow-to-build champions that should take over the game later, either be way too overpowered in the one thing they do well, or just not valuable at all. And I think it's going to be hard to balance something so one-dimensional in a game that has become so multidimensional over the last 5-6 years.
Now, speaking of changes, I have to ask, what did you think of Mordekaiser's rework?
Oh, man. Okay, Mordekaiser's was in need of a rework. I mean, we saw a soft rework in 2015, and he just went, like, completely permabanned at all of Worlds. He was way too strong. The games he did play, he just completely ran the table. And again, it's these unique abilities. Stealing the ghost of a dragon is so powerful, how do you balance the rest of that champion's kit? Because if it's too good, he's way too overtuned. He has too many things going on, too many things that he can benefit from. At the same time, if that's all he can do and the rest of his abilities suck, that risk really isn't worth it. It's not worth, like, oh, I get an extra, like, dragon push. It doesn't matter because if you're playing Mordekaiser, you're not even going to get any dragons because your team will lose the game, right? I think that the rework's needed, and I think it's good. I am, like, slightly concerned about his ultimate. I think it's absolutely insane. I think that while the overall changes to his kit are very, you know, they're a healthier update for an AP Bruiser. Think about how they what they did to Swain, you know, when they reworked him, which I thought was a good rework. I think there were some balancing issues at first, but overall, I think that rework was successful. That being said, Mordekaiser's ability to, with his ultimate, to take himself and another champion out of the game for 7 seconds is massive. Like, we're talking, if you're around a Baron fight, Mordekaiser just run at their jungler and then just, like, remove himself and the jungler from the game, and now they don't have a smite contest, right? Or if you're playing around, like, one really powerful champion, like a Master Yi or like a Vayne or something like that, no matter how far ahead Vayne is, Mordekaiser could be 0-10, and he can just click his ultimate, Vayne's out of the fight, your team wins the fight, you guys come back, you kill the Vayne, right? Like, so I think it's like, the rework overall is good. I'm almost concerned that giving him this new ability, it's a very good ultimate, but I think we might just see Mordekaiser kind of return to this Puraban status, which is what we've seen over the last 4 years. We either don't see Mordekaiser at all, or we don't see him barely at all because he's banned every single game because he's simply too strong to exist.
Yeah, I agree. Taking a player out, I mean, I was thinking to myself, it's one of two ways. Either really bad Mordekaiser is going to just get killed in his own ultimate, or it's going to be a good Mordekaiser and he's going to change the entire layout of the fight. And I think that's kind of unfair in a way, even though even in his ultimate, you can see where everybody is at. So, you know, the little wisps of they're either blue or red, you can see where people are. It's not like you're blind. I think if maybe Mordekaiser was blind in his own ultimate, I think that would be different. I would take that as being a little nerf on Mordekaiser. I don't know, just because that is too strong. That is too much to be able to pull someone who's incredibly important out of a team fight, and it could change the dynamics all the way around.
Yeah, and like I said, this is like the kind of thing where it's like you could be losing the whole game, and then if Mordekaiser gets like one flash ultimate on like your hard carry Vayne player, like it doesn't matter what you've done. You know what I mean? Like,
right,
you will lose that fight. Your team will fall apart in that 4v4 because Mordekaiser is taking out a champion that is not only integral to your composition, but also is inherently stronger than him. So it's not really need one-for-one trade if he's doing poorly. If he's doing well, not only can he take somebody out of the game entirely, but the rest of his kit is going to make him healthier. And I'm really concerned about these situations where, oh, you know, he's a top laner and he's pushing top and he's ahead and he's getting push advantage, and oh, the other top laner wants to teleport. Nope, you're coming with me, buddy. We're coming out of the map. Or like I said before, we're all grouped around the Baron, we're trying to do it. Oh, their jungler's coming to try and contest it. Mordekaiser, just go remove him from the game, take him to another dimension for a second. You know what I mean? Like, it's such a uniquely strong form of CC that we've never seen before, to like completely remove someone from the situation, that like it's going to cause such extreme balance problems that I wouldn't be surprised if we saw even the best of teams just straight up ban him out immediately, just to not deal with it, at least until they get some time to work around it. There is a chance that, you know, he can be kited, he can be zoned around, like he still is a bruiser, right? Like, it's not that he doesn't have drawbacks, but I don't know if those are going to matter when his ultimate is this freaking good.
Yeah, I can't wait to see pro play though with him, because it's going to be interesting. All the little leery crafting in my head, like, I want to see them put it in action.
What I'd love to see is someone who already wins a team fight and then they're about to like get a pentakill, and then the Mordekaiser just ults the person and kills him himself anyway, just a troll. I feel like we'd see that too.
You know, I'm also looking forward to one rework that so far I haven't heard anything about. Teemo rework. Have you heard anything about this? Like, when's it going to come out?
Absolutely nothing.
Ah.
Like you said, Riot has a lot on their plate right now, and I do think that Mordekaiser is in inherently a worse spot than Teemo is right now, and so I think they're probably going to prioritize that one first. Teemo has been in this state for such a long time that I think that people are sort of more accepting of it because sort of the jokey nature of his character, where like Mordekaiser mains right now are pissed. They've been pissed for years. You know what I mean? And I think that he does need a little bit more TLC than Teemo does right now, and so I wouldn't be surprised if we saw the Teemo rework push back a lot, especially because we really haven't heard much about it, really, in the last, you know, month or two. Like, there haven't been really any developments on that front besides slight balance changes. So I'm not really sure, because there hasn't been a lot of visibility on it. But I think simply because of the fact that he's not hurting the game inherently in where he is right now, and yet he also isn't completely useless. Like, he's not like, you know, he only does one thing well, but it's not like in that level of like, you know, Master Yi can take over the game or be useless, Karthus can take over the game or be useless, Mordekaiser is useless. You know, I think that it's just a matter of priorities for them right now, if I had to guess.
The upcoming patch 9.12, what can we expect from Riot then?
So patch 9.12 changes are small. Like, they're very incremental. You know, we do have the Mordecai's rework, which is the highlight, right? That's going to be huge. Amongst that kind of stuff, like, we really don't have a ton of other changes, which I think is good. Like, we have Aurelia nerfs, which I think are totally warranted, completely fine. Just, like, cooldown nerfs and range nerfs to her E, which I think does give her a little bit too much power of pursuit for everything else she can accomplish. Aatrox has his passive, instead of the cooldown being kind of changing with your scaling from 24 to 12 seconds, now it's just going to be 15 seconds at all time, which I think is fine. And also his ultimate, the world ender, his healing bonus is only self-healing now when he heals from it. It's not going to be all healing, which I think is good, because I think Aatrox and Yuumi is just absolutely absurd. And that's not fun for anybody. Again, you know, Karthus, they're trying to, you know, give him some TLC in the way of increasing the AP on his ultimate. It's going to be entirely the balance of Karthus's ace in the hole is his ultimate. So how do we make sure the rest of him isn't too oppressive for the game? Or if he is more of a well-rounded champion, then his ultimate can't be as insane as it is, right? So I think, like, they're really just going to keep kind of toying and playing with him without making too many changes, which I think is a good thing, but that's definitely going to be a tough task to balance. Malphite got a ton of changes, and we kind of talked about some of the ones that hit the PBE a couple of patches ago, but these are like more like quality of life changes. His Q now is, it's just the overall missile speed of the projectile is faster, which is good. His speed duration is decreased, which I think is a good balance, but also on top of that, he gets more movement speed stealing, so he doesn't get a speed boost for as long, but it is a better speed boost, and I think that makes more sense for his kit, whether it be from him running away from people or from like trying to close the ground to hit that big ultimate, right? Additionally, they've dropped the AP ratios on Thunderclap, which is a new W, renamed from Brutal Strikes. There's not much different about it outside of that, but basically, I think they want to make sure that, you know, we talked about the potential of, you know, AP Malphite just running people over, right? And if you're going to play AP Malphite, it should be about the ultimate, and he shouldn't be able to have as much, like, high damage on his other champions. I also think that Malphite is being touched up so much right now, not even just for Malphite, but because we've been in a metagame, at least at the top level, for so long, where we have carry champions primarily in the top lane, both stuff along the lines of like the Aurelia that can also go mid, the Akali that can also go mid. We're seeing more carries than ever, both of Mage and Bruiser variety in the top lane, and I think that the balance team is looking to try to give a little bit of love to the tank class and their value in the game. Basically, right now, we're seeing four damage dealers and then a tank support, right? Like, that's the standard professional composition at this point. And I think with introducing Yuumi and bringing tanks back in other roles, they're trying to create more diversity in styles for each role. And I think that Malphite is a great balance component. I think they're kind of trying to use him as a cornerstone for potentially the future of tank balance, at least for the rest of the year. Master Yi, we talked about his hotfix as well. Ryze has gotten some changes, which is long overdue. He's been pretty good for pretty long. It's not just like hard nerfs or anything like that, you know, but we have, you know, he has, you know, damage and movement speed. It's like guaranteed damage and movement speed is a little bit less oppressive so his traits are a little bit less oppressive to all lanes against him, which I think is good. I don't think that he should be able to have the level of early game presence he does now. He should take a little bit more time to come online. They also took the shield off of his Q overload, which didn't make any sense for him to have for me ever, so I'm really glad about that. Like, if he's going to be doing this much damage, he doesn't need to be, like, kind of a tanky mage as well. Ryze just frankly does too many things well, which is why we see him so frequently in pro play. And I think that these are the kind of changes that Riot's going to be looking for. They made over 20 changes individually to Ryze's kit, but none of them are massive, massive changes. And it is going to be these little incremental spots that are actually going to make a difference if we're talking about making the game healthier without completely removing the identity of the champion, like you said. Taz got some nerfs, which is good. He got changes too. This is really interesting. His E, abscond or abduct, it now gains shield on champion monster hit. I think that's good for his trading in lane, but it also makes me wonder if we're going to potentially see some viability of Sylas jungle. Usually when we see things change, like, to give, like, boost towards on-hitting monsters, that usually implies jungle potential, right? In addition, his shield value on his E was increased too, so that would allow him to tank up more camps. So I'm not sure if they're trying to make him more flexible and potentially give him another option, another role in the jungle, because he's been tearing up the solo lanes right now. And so I'm excited for these changes. I'm not sure if it's going to, you know, do exactly what I hope it does, but again, like, I like Riot's approach to these incremental changes. We don't have to make these big sweeping changes like we did to Master Yi and Karthus. Warwick got a slight buff on his Q. I think that's fine. And then Wukong, again, has a ton of new changes, and that makes sense. His kit, he's kind of one in need of a full rework. I think his kit is very outdated to the point of where you can run into anybody randomly playing Wukong and they're just terrible at it. But if like a dude has like a lot of games on Wukong, that's the thing that's the most scary to me in the world. I'm like, oh god, this guy's gonna destroy everyone, just because the kit is so, it's so outdated for the current state of the game, and it really can only do one thing well, similar to like, you know, the masteries and the cards of the world. But even it's even harder to pull off, you know, it's there's less reward for the risk of playing this champion. Item changes, we got a nerfs to Corrupting Potion, which has kind of been the standard starting item in mid and top lane specifically, simply because of the fact that you get health back, you get mana while you're chugging that potion, you're getting better damage in for trades. Like, it offers so much. And so basically what they did is they changed the corruption damage. It's changed to 15 at all levels now instead of scaling through the game, and also the amount of health that you get from the healing is a little different. So I think what they're trying to do here is, hey, you can totally take this item, but most people, I think, are taking it right now for the safe healing. I think they really want to be like, hey, no, utilize the fact that you get a little damage boost when you're healing. Like, they want to really kind of retain the identity of this Corrupting Potion and making advantages of the charges for the traits, instead of just like, oh, I'm taking this for healing and if I do some extra damage, cool. Because right now, I think that's where it is when champions are weak early on, pre-6, they're just taking this to survive. We don't have any rune changes, and then we do have we have updated splash arts and texture stuff for, obviously, the Mordekaiser rework stuff. And then we have a Dark Cosmic Gen skin, which is the new variant of kind of the Dark Star series. So that's what's coming in 9.12. So while there is a lot of items, like there's a lot of bullet points to be gone through, I think the overall changes to the game will not be like seen drastically in the way that the original Karthus and Master Yi nerfs would have been if they had gone through live.
Well, Nick, I have to ask you one last thing before I let you go. The way that Riot is changing directions and trying to open things up, what champion would you like to see get rework? Like, that's been so underused that you're like, they have to do this one. They have to address it.
Oh, okay, okay. If you'll give me just 1 second, I'm going to pull up the champions list, because I haven't been asked this in a long time. Let's see. You know, I, for the record, I don't consider myself a game balance expert by any imagination, right? Any stretch of imagination. That being said, I think they're really the main thing for me right now is that there's not a place for our traditional 80 hyper carry champions. I mentioned this earlier, but if you look, every single marksman that's being played in the bot lane, you're either playing mages down there or you're playing marksmen that do something else besides just auto attack. So if you look at, you know, for example, Vayne, yes, she's a great auto attack late game champion, but her 2-item power stack right now is good. She can come online sooner than that. Kai'Sa is the exact same way, great late game champion, but, you know, doesn't really struggle that much after the laning phase. Similarly, you see champions like Varus and Sivir, who are very auto-attack focused, but they bring another style of utility to the team, right? Like, Varus has a lot of CC, he has a lot of wave clear, he has poke, he's so well-rounded, and he can be built multiple different ways. Sivir has her team-wide utility of her ultimate, which is so huge in this type of, like, very, you know, dash and rush and just sort of gap-closing focused meta that we have. So for me, I think that, like, I honestly think that Yuumi was meant to kind of empower these hyper-carry champions to give them more of a chance to, like, live and survive the early game and have a little bit more pressure in lane, because Yuumi is so obnoxious in lane. She doesn't have to move, and she can just attack you and have this thing trail you like an annoying fly, right? So I think that's what they wanted to do, but really what's happened is that while Yuumi does make those champions slightly better, what she really has done is just make divers insane. Aurelia, Aatrox, right? Like, with those guys with the Yuumi on, they're just, like, not going to die if they know how to play their champion. And so I think, like, I think that while Riot is trying to figure out a way to bring that class back into the current state of the game, I think it's going to be really difficult, but that's what I would like to see. I want to see some love for Jinx, I want to see some love for Tristana, whether that be in the rework section of champions themselves or item changes, whatever it needs to be. I'd like to see some more traditional marksmen down there, because we're seeing at the professional level, you know, yes, obviously a lot of these guys can play the Ezreals and the Lucians and even like the Vladimirs and stuff when that goes down there, but, you know, for years, this role has been about auto-attacking. It's been about being the late-game team fight presence, and I think part of the reason we saw G2 do so well is that Perks is a mid laner, and he was playing bot lane, and frankly, his skill set is honestly more suited to the current meta than like someone who's been practicing auto-attacking champions for 8 years. I think that was a huge factor in why he was able to hold his own against these legendary AD carries who have long been superior to him, and technically still are. But the style of play that the game caters to right now simply doesn't allow the space for these types of hyper-carry marksmen, and I would like to see them get some love.
Well, Nick, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate you being here. For those listening, where can they find more information about you?
So you can follow me on Twitter at Nick Geraci. I'm a full-time esports journalist and, you know, staff writer for InVen Global. League of Legends is the main game I cover, but I also cover, you know, Overwatch, Fortnite, and, you know, a lot of other things too. So feel free to follow me on Twitter if you want to keep up with my work. Also, like I said, I'm part of a great team of writers over at InVenGlobal.com. So feel free to check our content out there as well.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Subscribe, rate, and comment at masonverapayne.com. That's MASONVERAPAINE.com. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.